Okay, well, good morning, everyone. Pastor Rick mentioned this, but we did have a great fall festival yesterday. And it was great to see so many people in the community come out. And I must say, I think the quality of our hamburgers like got a lot better today or yesterday than last year. And I had two of those. And anyway, it was good stuff. But more than that, I just heard one of the ladies I was talking with, and she was just, she doesn't come to our church, and she was just telling me that she felt so welcome to in this environment, and she noticed that there were two homeless people who came out to the fall festival, and she just noticed that they went right in line, they got the food, and then noticed that people were talking with them, and I thought, this is a beautiful picture of the gospel, right? This is really what we were trying to do, is to really bless our community, but to make it an event where we really see that everyone is welcome. Everyone can experience the love of Jesus, and so it was a great time. How many guys were there yesterday? All right, good. So quite a few. And when you got back, did you guys like fall asleep and immediately crash? Yes? So anyway, it was a great, great time, and I'm so thankful that, we were able to demonstrate the love of Jesus through our actions, through yesterday's event. So please join me. Actually, as we as we look at this passage, I'm going to ask you to just join me in prayer, and let's really ask the Lord to open up our hearts this morning to what he wants to say to us. So pray with me. Father, we're so thankful for yesterday, and God, we're thankful that you would use us as a church to demonstrate what the love of Jesus would be, that we could participate in that. And it's a great joy to be part of that and to be part of this kingdom work of what you're doing to build your kingdom here on earth and here in our city in Monterey Park. Lord, as we look into this passage now, and we talk about these parable of the talents, I pray that you would open our hearts and help us, Lord, to see what it means to steward our life in such a way that gives you glory. Lord, would you take your word and would you speak through your holy servant, Jesus, who is present with us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I also want to thank you for praying for me. The past couple weeks, I was, I wasn't here, and many of you know that I was in China the past couple weeks, and it was just a great time. My heart is just filled with gratitude. I got to do what I really enjoyed doing, what I was doing there in China before I came back here. And I taught this seminary, and this is a cohort of house church leaders who are already serving the church. They're actively serving in different ways. They're preaching. They're in different kind of roles. And what they're doing now is they're getting equipped and trained as they serve. So they don't have any formal training, but they just have this heart for Jesus. And they're looking for more training and for more equipping. And it's really the opposite of, I think, the model here in the States, where a lot of times people go for the training and the equipping, and then they serve afterward. And, sometimes that doesn't work too well because it's just really theoretical. And then they kind of serve, but over there, they're already just in the game. And they're getting equipped in the process, and they have that heart. And so just to be with them, it was, my heart was just so grateful. My family and I spent, quite a bit of time there, and just to see the fruit of the labors and to see these people, again, to reconnect with them, just brought so much joy to my heart to be there with them. And I got to admit that I'm still fighting jet lag. So this morning, I got up at 1 a.m. in the morning, and I've been up since 1 a.m. So if I fall asleep in the middle of my sermon, you'll know why, okay? So please, and then Pastor Rick said that if I fall asleep, it's okay. The Holy Spirit will just take over, right? So that's good, right? That's good. Hopefully the Holy Spirit's actually speaking right now, though. That was the Holy Spirit, right? All right, good. So, but I've got to say that, I've really developed this love for flying, and I didn't always love to enjoy flying, but when we went to China and during my time there, I'm always flying, and so airports have become really like my second home. I feel so happy to be in an airport. I know, it's kind of weird, but it's true, but I love being in airports, and I love flying, and I kind of missed that when I went to China and came back. And one of the things I think I love about flying is just that you get to really just, as you're up in the air, you just see the whole big picture, right? And you see, like, you know, I saw, like, the California coast, I saw the ocean, and flying over Korea as well. And things look just so nice, you know, up there, and so beautiful and pleasant. And you see this big picture of this beauty and all of that. Well, I've been thinking, you know, just in the past few weeks that as a church, I think God, I think, has been reminding us of this big picture in different kinds of ways. And for 3 weeks in October, we had this missions conference, right? And during this missions conference, we had some great speakers. They just really, I think all of us were stirred and challenged, right, in so many ways. And I think for those 3 weeks, we got to just kind of pull back as a church and really see this big picture of what God is up to, what he's doing to establish his kingdom here on earth. And we need that. We need to be constantly reminded of this big picture, because I think, so easily get caught up in the day-to-day of life that we forget. And, you know, last week, while in China, you know, I heard this news, or, you know, it's been a week and a half, but, and all of us as well, of our dear sister, Dora, who has passed on to be with the Lord in the presence of Jesus. And, you know, as I heard that, you know, the family knows this, I emailed the family, but, you know, I was thinking, oh, should I come back or not? And, but they were very gracious, and they knew that, you know, I was out there to do this work in China. And yet at the same time, I think my heart was just thinking about so many things during this past couple weeks. And I was just thinking that, you know, life is very temporary. That really is a big picture. Life is very temporary here in this world. And time is short. And the real question, I think, for me, as I get older and as I look at what's happening and even with the passing of Dora and all these things, always to me is, what am I doing with my life here on earth? How am I using my life in such a way so that it is really being maximally used, this short life that I've got, for God's glory? Just hearing the missions messages and seeing the big picture of that as well just reminds me that, man, I mean, there's really nothing else in this life other than knowing Jesus, right? Knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. What could be more important than that? I mean, everything else that we look at in this life, just, it's nothing. It is, as Paul said, I mean, it's rubbish. It's dung. It's nothing compared to knowing the value of the surpassing greatness, the value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and making him known. And so this Sunday, you know, all the pastor, the congregations, the Cantonese, and the Mandarin, and here in the English, we were asked to preach on this issue of stewardship. And I want us to just take another big step back and look at this big picture when we talk about stewardship in this passage. And as I was looking at this passage this past week, I was just really challenged in fresh new ways in my own life about stewardship. But what Jesus is talking about here. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives these series of parables. Going back to Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus is sharing these stories of the nature of God's kingdom. That's what a parable is. It's a truth. It's a story that talks about what the kingdom of God is all about. And what does it mean that as citizens of this kingdom, as citizens of who belong to King Jesus, what does it mean to live our life in the kingdom of God? And in the previous parable, Jesus talks about this parable of the 10 brides and how these 10 brides, they all confess, they confess with their mouth, at least, their allegiance to the bridegroom, but only 5 of these brides were actually prepared to meet with the groom when he came. And it's actually this very sobering parable to talk about that, you know, the kingdom of God is not just about confessing with our mouth that, you know, we belong to Jesus. It's not just having good, like, positive feelings or attitudes about Jesus or about Christianity, but it's about learning to endure, learning to persevere. It's about learning to joyfully serve and sacrifice for Christ. This is what the kingdom of God is about. And here in this parable, in Matthew chapter 25, the one we just read, Jesus continues to talk about this other story about the talents. And a talent here is a measurement of weight. It's about 60 to 80 pounds. And so a talent of silver could literally be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, but it's this measurement of weight, and really it's a symbol, or it stands for the things that God has given us in our life. Your life, the skills, the resources, the opportunities, the relationships, your whole life, all the talents, this is what this represents here in this parable. And so we might also call this parable of stewardship of the life that God has given you. That's what we might be able to call it. And the question is this: am I maximizing my life in such a way so that it is bringing the greatest glory to God? That's really counting for God's kingdom. I want to just share with you 5 truths from this parable of stewardship as disciples of Jesus. What does it mean as followers in God's kingdom that we've been given these talents by God for His glory? And I'm going to share with you 5 things. The first thing is this. I think it's very clear as we read these verses that Jesus expects an eternal return for the life that He has given to us. Jesus expects an eternal return. And verse 13, where we started off, Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." And what's He talking about here? What He's saying is that Jesus, right now, as He's seated at the right hand of God, as He came the first time, He came to live this perfect life for us. He died on the cross for us. He rose again, and now He's ascended. But He promises He's going to return a second time. And when He returns a second time, that's it. You know, this era, this age is going to be over. And He says, watch, for you don't know that neither the day nor the hour. He's going to come back. We don't know exactly when, but He's going to come back. But when He comes back, Jesus is clearly expecting an eternal return on our life. We will have to give an account to Jesus of how we have stewarded, used our life for his glory. If you look at this parable, each servant, the first two servants, they doubled the talents that the master gave them. So the servant that was given five talents multiplied it to 10, increased to 10. The servant with two talents increased it to 2. And this makes perfect sense, right? If you're a business person, you expect a return on your investment, right? If you invest in mutual funds, if you invest in anything, you'd be pretty disappointed if that investment didn't grow, right? Or if, worse yet, if you lost the principal on that investment. We all expect a return. We all expect the principal plus interest in whatever we invest into. And this is what Jesus is talking about. God will clearly hold us accountable to how we have used our lives to advance God's kingdom. The things that God has entrusted to you, the resources, the opportunities, the life, how is it actually being used, not just for your benefit? How is it actually being used in such a way that it is for God's kingdom purpose? When I was in China, the first Sunday when I preached in China, in my city, I was preaching in this art gallery. And it was really interesting because, it was a nice gallery. I should have actually brought you this picture, but it's this nice gallery, and the backstory behind this is that the person who purchased this gallery, this fairly expensive gallery, he deals with art and all of that, but the reason why he actually purchased this gallery was not for the sake of the gallery itself, was not just to make more money on that gallery. The reason why he actually rented that space or purchased that space and he had all these pieces of art or whatever was actually because it was the way to provide the space for the church so the church could meet and worship. And this man, he was using the resources that God had given him exactly for this purpose, for kingdom advancement, for something much greater than just his business. And this was a great picture of, I think this is exactly what Jesus is talking about in this parable. At the end of the day, all the things that you and I have been given, right? All the opportunities or the resources, how is it used for something beyond just our temporal needs? But how's it being used to really further God's kingdom work? Are you driven by this overarching mission and drive? This vision of God's kingdom, is that what drives you, your life, the way that you're spending it? Are you learning to leverage the resources that God has given you for his kingdom purpose? This last servant, he was given one talent, but he wasted that one opportunity, and he receives this harsh rebuke from the master, because it wasn't used for the master's intended purpose. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later, but the second thing I just want to mention, second observation as I look at the parable of the talents is this. It's not about how much you have, but it's about how much you use what you have for God's kingdom. So in this parable, one servant is given five talents, another two, another one. But notice that the servant who was given two talents wasn't necessarily expected to multiply to 10, right? He multiplied it to 4, but he is commended by this master. And really, the question before God is not, how much have I been given, but the question is, based on what God has given to you and I, the opportunities, are we maximizing these opportunities for God's kingdom? Are we learning to multiply it for him, for his glory? This is what he's looking at. The third one I just want to mention is this, the third principle. When I look at this parable, I think I see this, that God expects us to be bold and effective with the resources he's given us. God expects us to courageously and boldly, effectively multiply the resources that he's given us for his kingdom purpose. In other words, we are not called to play it safe in God's kingdom. We are not called to just say, okay, I've got this, and I'm in God's kingdom, and that's good. Maybe I'll just help out a little bit here and there. We are called to take risks and boldly multiply what God has given us. These servants who multiplied the talents were commended by God. And as they multiplied, notice that the last servant, he was playing it safe, right? He was saying, okay, I'm just going to hold on to this. I don't want to lose it. I'm just going to play it safe. But the ones who multiplied it, they were taking risks and they were being bold about it. And I want to ask us this question. Have you ever taken a genuine risk for God's kingdom? I'm not talking about just volunteering some time or some money, you know, just I'm going to give some money here and there. But I'm talking about, have you ever taken a risk that really cost you something in the name of God's kingdom for his glory? We were talking about this morning in our Sunday school class. What does it mean when we say that Jesus is Lord? When we bow down to Jesus and say that he is our King. And I was sharing this morning that I think 20 years ago, if I were to say Jesus is Lord, what I would have said, and I still believe this, of course, is to say that my life is submitted to Jesus. It's surrendered to him. But I think for the most part, the way that I would look at my life back then is, okay, as long as I do what's right and I don't do what's wrong, that is what it means to live my life for Jesus, right? Well, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, I just kind of live my life. And, you know, if Jesus shows me otherwise, and I'll do something else. But for the most part, I'll just try to avoid what's wrong. I'll try to do what's right. And that's what it means to bow down to Jesus. Well, yes, that is what it means. That's partly what it means to say Jesus is Lord. But I would say that it's something much more than that. When we say that Jesus is Lord, what we are saying is this. One thing I will add to this is, in just looking at the parable of talents, is we are seeking to magnify the name of Jesus as much as we possibly can in this lifetime. That is what it means to declare Jesus is our King. It's not just saying, okay, I'm just going to do my normal life. And just, it's about saying, Lord, how is what you have given me, how am I going to boldly take risks in such a way so that as many people come to know Jesus as possible? I think this is what he's talking about here. If our life is very predictable, if our life makes complete sense to the world, right, in the world's eyes, then is that kingdom living? I want to challenge us. Is that kingdom living? You go to church. They seem like nice people. We work hard. We're honest. Okay, yes. That's good. But is that what it means to multiply the talents that God has given us for his glory? I want to challenge us to be bold, to take risks for the kingdom's sake. One of my good friends, he was part of my wedding party, went to UC Berkeley. And he got his engineering degree. And, you know, he had a good career going for him, everything, but he would eventually leave all that to go to Open Doors, the number one persecuted country on their watch list. And he's been there now for the past like 25 years or so as a farmer. And if you look at that, it's like, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would this guy with a UC Berkeley engineering degree, right, do something that's completely unrelated to what he's doing now and go to the number one persecuted country on the Open Doors watch list? That just makes no sense, right? Now, let me just say this. I'm not saying that everyone is called to be a missionary. Okay? Not everyone is called to go to the number one persecuted country on the watch list. But here, where you're at, in your spheres of influence, are you taking bold risks to make Jesus known? Is it costing something? Is there a sense of real risk to make Jesus known? Are we doing what we can locally but overseas to let the gospel, to push the gospel, to see this kingdom advance as far and wide as possible? Are we praying? Are we supporting? Are we being good supports for those who are on frontier missions? Are we doing that? Well, this is sobering. I know it's not maybe the most encouraging message, but I do believe that this is a message that Jesus wants us to hear. And there's a sobering part of this, in this last part of the parable, because Jesus is warning, he's saying this, the servant who just received one talent, right? He buried this talent. And he buried this talent. Why? Because he's playing it safe. But look at the way that the master responds. I mean, the master just gives this really like harsh rebuke to this servant. You know, to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, not even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This last servant was afraid of taking any risks. And he was trying to just maximize his own protection while trying to do as little as possible. D.A. Carson says, it's not enough for Jesus followers to just hang in there, to wait for the end. Let me just live my Christian life and, you know, let me live it within my comfort until Jesus comes back. It's not enough. They must see themselves as servants who improve what their master entrusted them. Failure to do so proves they cannot really be valued as disciples at all. I think that's what Jesus is saying. And this is not work salvation, okay? We're not talking about work salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. Jesus paid for all of it on the cross. He rose again. And by grace we are saved through Christ, through faith in Christ. But I think what this is talking about is this. When Jesus becomes our Lord and Savior, the result, inevitable result will always be that there will be a joyful sense of sacrifice for God's kingdom. Jesus is always pushing us out of our comfort. He's always doing that so that we can be on mission with him. This is what Jesus does. And he pushes us out of the things that we think is normal and comfortable He just takes all that out. And this is the result of someone who really knows Jesus. In fact, this last servant, Jesus says, he uses these terms, he says, wicked and slothful. And the problem with this last servant was this, that it was not his laziness, okay? Jesus says, wicked and slothful. The deeper problem was, the problem was not necessarily his laziness. There was a deeper problem with this servant. And the deeper problem with this servant is this, that honestly, this last servant doesn't seem to know the master at all. That's the deeper issue. Why? Because the way that this last servant describes the master in verse 24, he says, he who also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. Now, if you look at the way that he understands this master, does it seem like he has this intimate, joyful relationship with this master? It does not, right? He calls this master a hard man. That means that he actually doesn't really know the grace and the goodness of this master. He doesn't see that. And the heart of someone who follows Jesus is this. The heart of someone who follows Jesus is that we know God's grace and mercy. We know the love of Christ that's been poured out to us on the cross. And there is a joyful response to that of saying, because I know the grace and mercy of Christ, my life is given as a joyful sacrifice to Him, to serve Him. This is what the first two servants, that's what their response is like. Well, the fourth thing is this. The reward that Jesus speaks of, I think in this parable, is the joy of seeing people come to Christ. And so I've been talking about this, but the servants who multiply the talents that Jesus says is this. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So what's this joy? What's the joy of the master that speaking of? Well, again, I think it's contrasting with the last servant where he's described as lazy and wicked. He's thrown into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so I think the contrast is that the joy of the master is eternal life with Jesus. And it's also the joy of seeing others come to know Jesus as well. This is, I think, what it's talking about. In other words, it's about evangelism. It's about seeing people come to Christ, being witnesses for Jesus. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives the parable of the lost coin, right, of the prodigal son. And the parable is all about how there is this joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. When people come to Christ, there's this tremendous joy in heaven. Some people make this kind of excuse. Well, evangelism is not my gift. That's just not my gift. That's just not my spiritual gift. That's just not what I'm good at. You know, my focus is maybe on justice and mercy, or my focus is on, you know, just I'm going to work hard at work, and hopefully my hard work, honest work at work will be a witness, you know, to others around me and all that. I'm going to be a good family person, a good husband, father, whatever. Those are my focuses. But evangelism is really not my thing. I'm willing to help out or whatever at church and do those, but just, yeah, evangelism is for other people. The people are really good at that. Well, I think that would be losing sight of why we're here on earth, to be honest. That's kind of like saying, I work at McDonald's, and my thing is, I make fries. Or I make hamburgers really well. This is what I want to focus on. I don't care about new customers, though. I just want to make my fries really good, right? That's what I'm focused on. Or that's what I do. But not caring about the business itself, what the point of the business is, right? To expand the franchise. One day when Jesus comes back, the master comes back, and there's only one reason why he's delaying. There's only one reason why Jesus has not come back yet. God is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. In Matthew 24, Jesus said that this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached to all the nations, and then the end will come. So there is actually only one reason why Jesus has not yet come back, and that is because he wants all to come to know who he is. And so if that's the case, and I think that this parable of the talents, and I think the only reason why we're here, left in this world, is to witness to Jesus. That's the only purpose for, that's the primary purpose for our life, to make Jesus known, to know him and make him known. And so when people come to know Jesus, there is joy in heaven, but there is actually joy in your life too. Look at these servants. When they say, look at how they report to the master. They say things like, look, I've earned five more talents. You know, the person with five talents. And if you look at these servants' attitudes, it's full of joy, right? It's like, look at this. Look at what I've done, you know, for you. It's not one of obligation, or there's this joy of doing that. And there's this joy of being part of the process of seeing people come to Christ. Whether you're the one to plant the seed or whether you're the one to reap the fruit of it, there's joy in that. Right now, you know, it's, people talk about in China that there's a lot of persecution that's happening, and certainly in certain parts there are, and in other parts there's more, like there's tighter controls, and things are definitely more sensitive, for sure. But one of the most joyful things I'm seeing personally happen is that the churches are actually growing, and people are coming to Christ despite the persecution, despite the tighter controls. And that's actually the joyful thing to see, that God is building his kingdom, and we actually get to be part of that. And then finally, I just want to add this one last thing. Stewardship on earth, our stewardship on earth will determine our stewardship in heaven. And the last thing I think that Jesus is talking about here is this, that God will reward us in eternity for the stewardship that we have exercised here on earth. This master says to servants, I will put you in charge of many things because you've stewarded your life here well for the sake of God's kingdom. And the master said, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. And you've been faithful over little. I'm going to set you over much. And so what's this much? Well, I think it's when Jesus returns, that in heaven, he's going to set us over much. This past summer, we had a speaker at the EM retreat, Bob Shogren. And one of the talks that Bob gave was this idea of rewards. And I know for some of you, this idea of rewards was new. And for others, it was maybe a little bit confusing, like, okay, you know, what's the nature of these rewards and those things? Well, honestly, there's a whole sermon series behind that we could do. But so I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail about that. But let me just say this, that I think it's very clear throughout the scriptures that rewards is definitely very biblical. And it's very, very clear that rewards in heaven, that there would be the sense in which when we get to heaven, there would be this greater sense of responsibility that Jesus will give us based on how we exercise the stewardship that he's given us here in this world. And so that's what's going on here. And let me just say that these rewards, you know, whether it's like the crowns or whatever, that's not really, I think, the point. But I think the point is this. The point is that Jesus himself will say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what he will say to you. And that he will give you this greater trust. Have you ever been given this greater trust by someone you admire and respect? And they say, you know, you've done a great job. Let me give you more responsibility. It's actually a great privilege, right, when that happens. And that's exactly what's happening here. Well, there's a lot that a lot more that I could say about this, but let me just give you a few practical things. In our church, there's so many opportunities, and there are STM trips we're going to take next year. We're looking to go to, I think Pastor Lily's going to lead a trip to India right? And we're looking to go to maybe Africa or Japan. We're looking to go to Iraq, Kyrgyzstan. If you haven't gone, go. Take your family. Seriously, like, go. Experience God's kingdom in fresh new ways. We have local outreaches, ELAC, USC. We have the Syrian refugee outreach in El Cajon over there. In our community groups, we're doing this missional focus. Those are our ways. But look at your local context. Look at your work. Look at your neighborhoods. Look at your families. All these places, right? How are you taking risks to make Jesus known? You know, life is too short. It really is. And as John Piper said in a message a long time ago, you have one life. Don't waste it. You've been given one life. Don't just spend your life. Let it pass by. Use your life. Use it well. Use it to know Christ more, to make Christ known. Because in the end, when it's said and all said and done, nothing else will be important. Nothing else will last. God's word, God's kingdom, these are the things that will last for all of eternity. So leverage your life, your jobs, the resources, the opportunities, not just to get by. Leverage it for the kingdom of God, for God's glory, to make Jesus known. I'm going to invite the praise team to come up and lead us in one final song. And why don't we just sing like maybe a couple of verses as we close out.